Hi, I'm Kathy Forstey, music director at KC Cafe Radio. Lee Sims is a legend in country music. He's been named Country Music Entertainer of the Year twice and been inducted into the Colorado Country Music Hall of Fame. He is a three-time winner of the Golden Music Award in Nashville, and he's known for his baritone voice and always keeping it country. His latest album, Deep in the Heart of Me, continues in the country tradition that Lee Sims is known for. And it's great to have him as a guest here on KC Cafe Radio. Thank you, Lee Sims, for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Kathy. Thank you so much.
I was reading through your bio, and I noticed that you started performing at a really young age. At 5 years old, is that correct?
I would go to parties that my dad would go to, and they would always have a guitar there, or somebody that could play, and I would sing along with them. Started singing to 45s back in those days, and nobody probably even knows what those are today. But at any rate, I used to sing a lot of Johnny Cash and Tennessee Ernie Ford, and as time progressed, I went into Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings, and so those are kind of my roots.
You didn't have this big baritone voice back as a child, did you?
No, probably not so much, no.
Do you remember those performances very well?
Pretty well, yeah. I was, like I said, they were just parties that my dad would take me to. He was in the military, and he was in charge of entertainment. And so he was really into that particular vein of things, and so he kind of prodded me in that direction, and especially when he would hear me singing to the radio and the records and things. So he just put one, two and two together, and we went in that direction.
Yeah, so he must have noticed that you had a talent at a very young age then.
I don't have him to refer to right now, but I'm assuming that that's correct, because he spent a lot of time and monetary concessions to me to get me going in the music business, and so I would say that's accurate.
What were you doing, like 16 Tons and by Tennessee Ernie Ford?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of, that would,
yeah,
that'd have been really cute to see a 5-year-old doing those songs.
I used to do that one, and the Johnny Cash song, I Don't Take Your Guns to Town. I would stand in front of the mirror and sing those songs all day long. So
that's really cool. So were those the musical influence for you growing up? Is that what you aspired to be as you got older?
You know, I won't even go so much there. It's just to say that, I had such a desire to do it. I just couldn't stop that desire to want to play and sing. And actually, the playing came secondary. Singing was always the first thing.
Was your mother also musical as well?
No.
No?
No, not at all. My dad wasn't actually musical either. That was his job in the Army. He was booking shows for the bases and things like that. And so he had the talent to hear it. Mm-hmm. But as far as playing it, he didn't play anything either.
Oh, interesting. That's sort of like my family. My mom and dad didn't play, but for some reason, music was in my blood. And
I'm right there with you.
You have any brothers or sisters?
I have a brother who is in my band right now. He plays bass in my band. So, yes. Other than that, I had three other siblings, and none of them are musically inclined.
You started playing lap steel at a young age, too. How did you get started playing that?
It was just something my dad did. He said, here, I think you need to start learning how to play guitar. And I guess he knew somebody who taught. I don't know exactly what the story was there, because I was still pretty young. It was an acoustic guitar that had a nut on it that raised the strings up. Mm-hmm. And then you used the bar like you use for a steel guitar. And then the guy came over. I had lessons once a week, and I just, absolutely was totally into that. I just loved it. Mm-hmm. Then when we moved, like I said, my dad was in the Army. And so when we moved, finding another teacher was a difficult thing. So I got innovative, and I took that nut off of the guitar that raised the strings and lowered it back down to its normal position so that I could actually fret it and start learning chords. They used to have a thing called Mel Bay books where it taught you beginning guitar. And if you bought the course for like $9.99 or whatever it was, it sends you a book, and it sends you a record so that you could tune your guitar to the record, which everybody needs that when you don't have a clue how to do it. So I switched gears from the lap steel to actually just playing a six string.
Yeah, I learned from the Mel Bay book too.
Yeah.
Those are pretty good instruction books. I teach now, and it amazes me how different instruction books, they want to give you different chords to start off with. And I'm surprised that a lot of times they want to start kids off on a G chord, because I think G chords are kind of hard to reach. And
especially for small hands, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, maybe a D chord would be the better chord to start on. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So what do you think attracted you to playing the lap steel? I mean, did you hear it a lot in music and you thought, oh, I just got to play that instrument?
No, you know, honestly, none of that was part of the mix. Like I said, my dad had this guy come over and he was an instructor and that's what he taught. He didn't teach regular guitar. And they brought me a guitar and said, okay, we'll try this out and we'll come back in a week and see where you are. And if you're making progress, then we'll go on with the lessons. If you're not, well, we'll end it right there. And so within a day, I was ready for lesson number two. Yeah, I couldn't wait for the weeks to fly by so I could get something new to do. I had no preconceived notions about playing the lap steel. It just happened.
That's good. It just kind of fell into your lap, so to speak.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, yeah. So who were your musical heroes growing up?
Tennessee Area 4, Johnny Cash. And it kind of, like I said, it evolved over time. Johnny Cash, then went to Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings, and Buck Owens. And typically all those founders of country music for my age bracket, obviously Hank Williams was an influence on all of those people, and he was an influence on me as well. My dad liked to listen to a lot of Hank Thompson, so I got a lot of that in my blood too. And then as time progressed, you know, obviously there were other interests, George Jones, Johnny Paycheck, George Strait. We actually backed George Strait up on his very first Denver appearance back in 1981, I think it was. He was doing Unwound and Down and Out, so we backed him up while he was promoting that. So those are all, you know, the influences that took me along. And I finally reached a point where I said, well, okay, so I've gotten all this behind me. It's time to really try to develop where I am in my own voice. So.
Yeah. And how old were you when you started your first band?
I was 14.
And were you playing guitar and singing lead then? Or?
Yes. It actually started out as just a bunch of guys that wanted to. At that time, we were listening to a lot of the Beatles and that kind of stuff. So, you know, my peers kind of dictated what I did at that time. Mm-hmm. But then I filtered back to what reality was for me. But I did a talent show, and we did some surf music. It seems like we did Pipeline, and I can't remember a couple of those type of tunes there. And then it kind of catapulted from there. My dad said, well, you know, if you really want to do something, stick to your country roots, and I'll get you into these places. So I was playing clubs by the time I was 15. Obviously, my dad had to be there as a chaperone, but, you know, that was nothing for him. He enjoyed that.
And was your brother always playing with you as well?
No, that happened later. He's 5 years younger than I am. That didn't really come to pass until early 70s.
So at what point did you start writing songs?
I actually don't write too much. I kind of lean on other people that I have close associations with. 9 of those 10 songs on Deep in the Heart of Me were written by a good friend of mine, Randy Norton, who used to live here in Colorado, but he's since moved on to Texas. But he and I are a long time musically entwined back into the 70s, and we've known each other forever. One day he just said, hey, Lee, I'm out listening to this song. So one thing led to another, and when I did Deep in the Heart of Me, I just chose all of his songs because I could relate to all of them real well.
Yeah, you've sung a variety of songs over the years by different writers. What to you makes a good country song?
Obviously, telling the story. I like good melodies, and I just like music. You know, I like to listen to a lot of things that happen right now on TV. And I don't listen so much to the singers as I listen to the music. And I like really good music. To me, it's all about selling the song. Mm-hmm. I used to do a lot of commercial jingles, and that was something I learned while I was doing these commercial jingles, is it's all about making people believe what you're trying to sell. Mm-hmm. And I think that applies also to music. You know, you have to feel it. You have to make it sellable.
And so you've sung all over the U.S., I'm guessing, in different regions of the country.
We traveled on the road for some time. We played anywhere from the state of Washington. We played the Nevada circuit. We played through the desert Southwest, obviously Colorado, up into Canada, Michigan, Minnesota, Tennessee, Kansas, Missouri. As a matter of fact, we played down in Springfield. We did quite a bit of traveling. Mm-hmm. I've kind of settled in because I got married and, you know, I had children. So kind of settled into the Colorado scene. And we used to travel a lot of Colorado and Wyoming. So that was kind of the circuit that I went for mm-hmm. quite some time.
Have you found that there's a regional difference in country music around different parts of the U.S. or the acceptance of country music in different parts?
I find that right here in Denver alone.
Oh, yeah?
Go to one side of town, they love what you're doing. Go to the other side of town, and they don't care about you. So, yeah, I think it does change. Some parts of the country, they prefer the more traditional stuff that I do. Other parts, they like the more current country music. I try to stick with what I consider really good, solid music.
Is there anybody that is around right now that you like a lot?
Probably my most favorite current country players is Brad Paisley. I like where he came from. I can't say that I like all the songs he does, but I do like a majority of them. And I especially like some of his stuff that he started with to begin with. He's got such a strong country influence, especially with his bluegrass background and, you know, coming from, if I remember correctly, he's from West Virginia. So I obviously like George Strait a lot. I do a lot of his material.
The thing that I find impressive about Brad Paisley and some of the other country people right now is that a lot of them are really good guitar players, just amazing guitar players. In addition to their songs, I think I'm more impressed with how they play.
I'm totally with you. And I mean, that's really what grabbed me to begin with. And then I start listening to his songs, and he lyrically has got some great material too. I mean, he paints a really good story.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your band, the Platte River Band.
We generally run a 4-piece band. I also offer a 5-piece band if the funds are available for us. So I run a steel guitar when the 5 pieces are available. I play guitar. I have a lead guitarist that I do lead on, bass player, which is my brother, and drums. We have 3 to 4 singers. Once again, that depends on whether my steel player is working with us.
And what kind of venues do you guys typically play?
Most of them are your bars, your nightclub type scene. We've done some outdoor activities for fairs and rodeos and things of that nature. But most of it, because you try to work year-round, and most of it's just the club scene.
Are you able to do any of the songs that are on your new CD, Deep in the Heart of Me, at those shows?
All the time.
Yeah?
I try to do everything that's on the CD all the time, just in an attempt to try to promote what I've got there. And we've also done some videos to go along with that CD as well. So I'm always trying to promote those too.
And you find that your songs are accepted as well as some of the covers that you do?
Oh, yeah. I get requests for my material from Deep in the Heart of Me in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I have another CD prior to Deep in the Heart of Me, but it's pretty exclusively covers. But Deep in the Heart of Me, I get a lot of requests for Blues on Parade, Summer Fall, The Waltz, a lot of those songs.
I was just going to ask you about some of the songs that are on the CD, and you mentioned the videos as well. You've got a terrific video on your website called The Waltz.
Thank
you. Tell everyone about that video and what story you're telling there in that song.
Well, the setting is Las Cruces, New Mexico, and it's about a guy who's just happens into a club, and he's sitting there having a few cocktails, and he's enthralled with the dancers dancing, and he picks out one couple that dances, and ironically, the lady that's in that particular couple comes over to the table, and her husband says, "I don't know how to waltz, but my wife loves to waltz. Would you waltz with her?" Kind of like a weird, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it's kind of like a fantasy type song where a guy sees this, he goes in, and the lady, as the song goes, waltzes into his life and then 2 steps right out of his life. So,
very cool.
It's kind of like a little twist on words and a little twist to the storyline too.
Where did you film that?
It was actually filmed here in Colorado. Place called Buckskins, one of the places that I play. They closed off the whole area for us. We also played there, so we got some live shots from playing there as well.
Yeah, it's really professionally done. Who directed it?
The guy's name is Sean Sauer. He was the, you know, directed, produced it, did the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
He's an incredible talent. You know, I've been very fortunate. This entire CD, to me, was a very fortunate project. First of all, meeting up with Randy Norton, the writer of the songs. I did this CD not with my band. I actually went to Nashville and recorded it there. And I had the fortune to work with some really high caliber A players there in Nashville. And then hooking up with Sean was just a stroke of luck. I know his mother and father real well, and they suggested that I talk to him, and he has credentials that just go beyond. You know, so I was really, really fortunate. The whole CD, from the videos to the recording, has just been a very fortunate thing for me. Kind of being in the right place at the right time, you know.
Yeah, it's really terrific. Tell people where they can catch it. On your website, leesims.com, they can go there and see it. And you also have it up on YouTube as well?
It is on YouTube. And just like you said, at leesims.com, that's the easiest place. You go there, it just pops up on the front page. And I have my other two videos from this CD on that front page as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the easiest way. Easiest way to get there. But yeah. I'd love you to, anybody listening, to stop by and take a look and see what you think. And, you know, drop me a line. There's a way to get a hold of me there after the video. Or you can send me a note on my website as well.
Did he also do the other videos?
Yes, he did Ragtop Baby as well.
There's a video for Uncle Joe as well, right?
And Uncle Joe, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned you went to Nashville to record Deep in the Heart of Me. Which studio did you use there in Nashville?
We used Slaw Dog Productions. It's actually just outside of Nashville. And Greg Cole is the producer of the CD. He's been around and has just really high credentials, too. He hooked me up with Mike Johnson, who has been the Steel Guitarist of the Year for so many years there in Nashville. He did a lot of the early stuff with Brad Paisley, too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, just, you know, quality players.
How long did it take you to do it?
Well, reality is, for my part of it, I know better than to try to compete with the people that are playing in Nashville. So all I did was sing. Mm-hmm. I let the pros from Dover do the work, you know. It didn't take me too terribly long. I was there for maybe a week total.
One of my favorite songs on the album is Summer Fall. What attracted you to that song? And I know it's one that you requested that we play on Casey Cafe Radio as well, and I was more than happy to oblige because it's one of my favorites as well.
I really like that song, and that was the song that Randy brought to me to begin with. That was the very first song that he gave me of his catalog of songs. And as soon as I heard it, I knew I wanted to do that. But once again, that's kind of a play on words too, and it just struck a nerve with me. I also like songs that have the cha-cha beat to them, so
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of drawn to it from that perspective as well. And that is going to be the next video that we do as well.
Oh, awesome.
We'll be doing that this summer.
I can't wait to see that.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I can't wait to get it done. I've actually wanted to do it last year, but time didn't permit, so we're going into this year saying that's our project for this year. So
great. That's awesome. I noticed that a lot of your songs kind of are the type of songs that make the body move, you know. People want to move when they hear your music, you know. You're not just being cerebral and sitting there and listening. You kind of move in your chair when you're listening to your songs, because you've always got a rhythm going.
Thank you so much.
Ragtop Baby is one of those kind of songs. Tell everybody what that song's about.
It's about a father who has a daughter and just kind of handing the keys to the car to her. And if you had a chance to see the video, the video pretty well tells the story too. It's just, I don't know, it's just a fun tune. When Randy wrote it, he says, you know, I've got something that's a little different for you. But he says, it's kind of a fun tune. And so and we just took out to do that one for fun.
And do you know who he wrote Uncle Joe about?
It wasn't about an uncle. It was actually about his grandfather, but he changed it because it seemed to flow better by using Uncle Joe. That is a very real story. A few embellishments to make it more subtle.
So what is your favorite song on the album?
Well,
favorite songs, maybe.
Yeah, it would be more along that line. I really like Blues on Parade. I like Summer Fall. I like Ragtop Baby. Just for a fun one, one that that I didn't ask you to play was Pain in the Memory. That's another one that I kind of like. That's just it's kind of off the wall, but mm-hmm. it's something that I like. Texas Girl is always it's another good one for me. I get a lot of requests for that one. I get a lot of requests for that one even overseas. Had some people that heard it over there, and they're really pushing that one for me over there. So, and of course, the waltz. The waltz is really, ironically, the one I get probably the most requests for.
Well, that's a great song. It tells a really cool story, really great story. You mentioned earlier about your 2001 release, Backtracking. It was a really successful album for you. Why was there such a long break between that album and the new one, Deep in the Heart of Me?
Well, the best explanation I can give you is that I wound up going to work for the United States Postal Service. I had reached a point in my musical career where things looked like it was, fading, and the money wasn't coming in the way I anticipated it. And being a musician all the time, you're spending all your money that you're making to try to promote your product or buy new equipment or travel or whatever it is you're doing. So you don't really get a chance to build up your Social Security or your savings or anything like that. So I took kind of a little hiatus there and said, well, I'm going to go try to make some money. So mm-hmm. I got on with the post office, and I just retired from there after almost 13 years. And that's all I needed to do. I just wanted to get that Social Security built up so I had something to bring to the table for my family in the later years. My wife worked for the government, and she's provided us with a nice retirement. So thank goodness for her, I was able to do music for as long as I did. I totally, with no other interruptions.
How many kids do you have?
We have two. I have a son and his family. They just currently moved to North Carolina, Raleigh, to the Raleigh area. They were in the Washington, D.C. area. And then my daughter and her family just live about 5 minutes from us here in Colorado, in Aurora.
Are any of your kids or grandkids musically inclined?
My oldest grandson actually is more theatrically inclined. He's a great actor. I always get tickled every time I get to go see one of his performances. And my youngest one is 6 years old, and he's leaning towards playing drums. I think his dad is trying to push him more to play piano, but he wants to play drums. So
a quieter instrument. A quieter instrument there. Yeah, my son, he's 13 now, but we bought him a drum set when he was 5. And it gets pretty noisy. So I can relate to that. I was reading also in your bio that you've had the great honor of doing shows with Waylon Jennings and Buck Owens and Tanya Tucker. Tell me about those shows and how you got the opportunity to work with them.
Well, a lot of that was being in the right place at the right time, once again, especially with Buck Owens and Tanya Tucker. We used to play a festival that they had here in Denver. We would actually wind up being the backup band for the people that came on the show. Not only that, but, a lot of people won't recognize his name, but Narvel Phelps, who used to be big in the country blues back in the late 50s and then into the 60s and 70s. He's starting to cross over a little bit more into mainstream country. He's got quite a unique voice. Kind of reminds me a lot of Doug Kershaw. But we worked with him, Tommy Overstreet, just a boatload of people that were moderately big at that time. From that, it's how we made the connection to play and open for Waylon Jennings over on the Western Slope here in Colorado, over Grand Junction. So,
what did you think of Waylon when you met him? Was he a bigger in life kind of guy, or?
It was very brief. We actually got to talk to his band members a little bit more than we would have a chance to talk to him. He stopped by and said hello, and then it was pretty much time for him to take the stage. But yeah, definitely bigger than life, mm-hmm. especially at that time in my career.
Yeah. And what about Tanya Tucker? Was that back when she was not doing well? She had a really bad spell with drugs there for a long time. Was it during that time?
This was before that.
Was it?
No, it was before that. It was shortly after she did Delta Dawn. It was one of the ones that we had to learn to back her up. And so she was still really young. I'm going to guess maybe she was 18. Because I know she started around 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there. But so it was a little bit after that. She probably closer to 18.
Yeah. She was my first real concert that I went to.
How cool.
It was at Six Flags in St. Louis, so she was playing at the old Glory Amphitheater there, so that was my first show.
Yeah, she was quite a talent.
Yeah, I really love her voice a lot.
I still do, yeah.
Yeah. So when can we expect some new music from you? Are you doing anything, recording anything or working on anything right now?
I have some things in the works. I'm working with an old friend of mine that we've played together throughout the years, for several years. And we're looking to put together some songs that we had in the past. And I'm assuming If things go as planned, that we could have something out later this year.
Awesome.
Like I was telling you earlier, my main focus right now is to do that video for summer, fall. So that's top of my list. And then this other project.
Whenever you are looking for a song to record, you were mentioning the gentleman who wrote most of the songs on Deep in the Heart of Me. Is there another songwriter that you think you're going to be recording songs of, or are you going to stick with him?
I will still do some of his stuff. Some of the stuff that we are looking at are some things that I did in the past that we kind of just put on the shelf. And so we're looking at going back and revisiting those songs and bringing them up to date, so to speak. Some of those songs came from Nashville writers because I did a lot of stuff in Nashville back in the 80s, including a couple TV shows. And
what shows did you do?
I was on You Can Be a Star.
Uh-huh.
Which was a film there in Nashville. And then just some bit parts and some commercials. So, obviously nothing that anybody would ever recognize. But.
That's neat. You've had a very varied and rewarding career, it sounds like.
I've enjoyed it, yes. And I'm still enjoying it. Actually, I'm more so now since I've been able to cut that tie with the post office. I'm even enjoying it even more, kind of tough to keep the band going and keep the day job going. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I meet myself coming and going. And thank goodness for my wife. She took care of a lot of things that I couldn't do because of working at the post office a lot. She'd go set up for me and she man interference for me all the time. So thank goodness for her.
It's very important to have a supportive spouse if you're going to do this.
Oh, you know what? Absolutely. And she's been there from day one. So I love her with all my heart.
That's wonderful. Is there a place that you play regularly there in Colorado? Our marketing director just moved to Colorado Springs. And so I was wondering if I came up and visited her, is there a place that you play that's not too far from there that I could see you play?
Well, there's a place in Franktown, Colorado, which is about halfway between Colorado Springs and Denver. And it's a place called the Stagecoach, ironically. It used to be a stage stop back in the 1880s. They would stop there on the way into Denver.
Okay.
Another place is the place where we filmed The Waltz. That's in Sedalia. It's a little bit different direction. It's a little bit more west than Franktown, but it's still about the same distance from Denver. But if you're coming to town, give me a buzz or shoot me an email or something, and I'll let you know where we are.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd love to see you play. So I'm going to ask you one last question here, and this is one that I like to ask artists because it gives a little insight into what kind of person you are.
Okay.
What is your favorite song of all time, and why do you think that is?
Oh, boy. I don't think I could say one particular song because it kind of depends on where I am at any given time. I tend to like the more up-tempo stuff, but one song that comes to mind to me is The Way I Am, Merle Haggard. And the other one that comes to mind, and I'm going totally opposite of what I just said, liking up-tempo stuff, Cross My Heart, George Strait.
Mm.
I think that particular song has a lot to say, and especially between a man and a woman. I think that one just tells it all.
Yeah, I think those are two great songs you just picked there. Both of those are artists that I admire a lot.
I do a lot of Merle Haggard stuff, so I was really sad for his passing.
Yeah, it's been a bad year for music. A lot of great people have lost this year. It's sad.
All the way around. Doesn't matter which field of music it is. We've lost a lot of great artists.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I want to tell everybody they can find your music at CD Baby, and they can also find it at iTunes as well. And, of course, you have great videos on your website, which is at leesims.com, and it's also a very good website. You got all your gigs listed there and a nice little bio written up as well. And so go visit leesims.com. That's LEESIMS.com. I mentioned CD Baby and iTunes, where they can find your music. Do you have a Facebook page as well?
Yes, I do. I have Facebook and Instagram and on Twitter as well. There should be links on my website to all of those, too. So.
All right, great. Well, make sure everybody checks out all those places and make sure you get a copy of Lee Sims' newest CD, Deep in the Heart of Me. It's a wonderful CD and full of really toe-tapping songs and songs that will touch your heart as well. Deep in the Heart of Me.
One last thing, Kathy, before we wrap this up, I'd like to put a shout-out to Jeanette Lundgren, who does all my Facebook and Twitter stuff. She does a fabulous job, and she's also responsible for putting me in touch with you, which I can't thank her enough. I want to make sure I shout out to her.
Yeah, Mother Hen. Yeah, we love Mother Hen. She's a wonderful person. We love Jeanette. She's done a lot for Casey Cafe Radio. There's some months I don't think we'd be on the air if it weren't for her. So we love her.
There you go.
Well, thank you again, Lee, for taking the time to chat with me. And I'm looking forward to seeing that new video coming out this summer.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Kathy. It's been a pleasure talking with you.